Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and we're going to jump right in this morning because we have a lot to cover. Story County Supervisor Wayne Clinton is retiring after serving four terms. We have two candidates who are running to replace him. On the Democrat side, the primary runoff for the Democratic candidates will occur on June 7th, 2016 for Story County Supervisors, and early voting for this primary will start on April 28th. Today, I'm pleased to welcome the two Democratic candidates for Story County Supervisor, Loris Olson and Reno Berg, to Local Talk so they can tell you where they stand on some of the issues. We're going to have a conversation debate. I will ask them a number of questions, and they will alternate in their responses. Greta Anderson is here, too, and she's helping to keep time. So thank you for coming today, Loris, and thank you for coming, Mr. Berg.
Welcome to be here.
Thank you.
Let's start with a question about your general goals and priorities for the first 2 years of your term, and how do you plan to line up with the Cornerstone to Capstone Planning Project? The Cornerstone to Capstone Project is a coordinated long-range plan for Story County policies and physical growth to develop over the next 20 years. The plan has received public input and is meant to provide vision and goals for the quality of life in Story County. Loris, would you start, please?
Certainly. And once again, thank you, Ursula. It's good to be back in the studio for a little while. Transportation and affordable housing are two goals that I think we need to address. The time is ready to address. And they both are receive significant attention in the Cornerstone to Capstone, which I'd like to call C2C, which is the abbreviation for it, in the C2C plan. And the plan itself takes a look somewhat from the economic development perspective because it finds economic vitality as a real driver for everything. And so for transportation, they talk a lot about roads and bridges. And I think the county already has a good plan laid out to try and address them given funding. But what isn't addressed is the individual. We have a lot of problem with transportation from people in the outlying areas of the county getting into Ames, which is a major employment center. So I'd like to take a look at some innovation, which is also really put out there in the C2C plan, and take a look at maybe some type of Uber arrangement. I'd like to take a look at possibly van transportation. Definitely is going to require a public-private partnership, which also is a emphasis that goes throughout C2C. Also, it's always a goal to make sure that we vet early and we vet often. And so I'd like to take a look at some progress that the county has made in the last 2 years of communication with the residents and go the next step into interactive digital technology using Skype, using remote satellite locations for meetings.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Berg?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. The Cornerstone to Capstone effort has been on long going now for a number of months, and there's been a number of community involvement in the planning for this, a number of city councils and commissions and so forth, and individuals have had the opportunity to participate as well. From my perspective, much like Loris, I'm interested in transportation as well. It's interesting to note, I've been in the Story County community for 38 years, since 1977, and as long as I can remember, every year from 1977 forward to today, transportation and housing has been an issue. And housing is also an area that I would like to work on, as well as transportation. And I think it's high time that we stop talking about transportation and housing as a problem in this county and start doing something about it. I would hope that we would get to the next 20 years and not be talking about problems with transportation and housing. We've been doing that, at least from my experience, for the last 38 years now, and it's time to stop that. When we talk about transportation, we're also talking about, as Loris indicated, roads and bridges. A lot of roads and bridges in this community that are in need of major repair, and infrastructure needs to be in place. The federal government has not passed legislation necessary to bring dollars into this community to deal with the infrastructure repairs. That needs to happen, and I would hope that we could have some influence in having Congress pass some of that, although Congress passing anything these days has been difficult.
Loris, any other responses before we move on?
No, thank you. I think we'll cover financing later.
The Board of Supervisors sets the budget and the tax levy rate for the county. What are your thoughts about the current county budget, and what would you like to see happen in the future, Mr. Byrd?
Well, the current county budget is about $1 million less than the last year's county budget, and much was made about the fact that the tax levy is going to go down slightly as a result of that. I would want to make sure that the kinds of things that are causing the reduction in budget, we're not eliminating things that we need to have in order to improve the quality of life for people. I know one of the things that was eliminated from this current budget was a program at the sheriff's office that dealt with providing prisoners with some education, which hopefully would result in a lower recidivism rate for those people. And that program, as I understand it, is not going to continue. And I think that's unfortunate. I think that may be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I would want to make sure that in future budget years that we take care not to eliminate programs that we need, not to eliminate programs that improve the quality of life. We need to take each department as they stand. But I would not be afraid of tax increases if we need to have that, and we need to improve what is going on in Story County.
Okay, thank you, Loris.
Okay, well, I talked about the budget to say we would reference this. My transportation plan is going to need money, so I would try to work with the current supervisors, who are very money conscious, and they keep a tight rein on the budget. But I'd like to raise the taxation 10 cents per thousand, and what this would mean for somebody who owned a $200,000 house would be they'd pay $20 more a year. It'd yield about $1.5 million that I'd like to put at transportation and possibly some of these other programs, but definitely transportation. I also would like to leave part of the tax incremental financing revenues that are still to come unencumbered. We're in a situation right now where we've encumbered a lot of the TIF money from the wind farms, and the board just on Tuesday went ahead and basically has committed another $3 million of TIF money over the next 3 years to go to a 37-acre wildlife area around the ISU Research Park. And we have some other projects coming down. We've got a $2.1 million project for renovation of the Justice Center that's coming down in a couple years. Then the year after that, a $1.1 million admin building project. And I'd like to make sure that we'd have some TIF money still available for that, especially since remember that when we take money and devote it to TIF, it's that those incremental revenues are not available for the general budget, which is where programs like the education program from the jail come from.
Thank you. Mr. Berg, any more comments?
No.
What is your approach to the Bakken Pipeline, and what role do you see as a county supervisor? Ms. Olson?
Unfortunately, I think the most significant thing that the county board could have done was to have passed a resolution that went down to the Iowa Utilities Board stating that they did not feel that this was good for the citizens of the county. After the last Board of Supervisors meeting, I had an opportunity to just have a casual exchange with Supervisor Rick Sanders, and we discussed the fact that had that come up, it would have been a 2-1 vote if I'd been sitting on the board. Now, that still wouldn't have meant that we had passed it. But what it would have meant is there would have been a voice at the table that would have been very proactive and asking for vetting. I also was a little disappointed on Tuesday when they went ahead and did not delay the vote to issue the conditions for an easement for crossing on the drainage districts. Time is of the essence, but the public hearing and the vote all occurred within one period of time of about an hour. And I would have liked to have seen the public input come up 1 week so some questions could have been answered and then the vote the next week. I will say I would have voted with them. There was no choice at that point. It was either take it without any conditions or try to get some more conditions for the citizens.
Thank you. Mr. Berg?
I think the approach to the Bakken Pipeline, I agree with much of what Laura says. The fact that this thing does not pass the smell test doesn't get past anybody in Story County. That being said, the Board of Supervisors does not have the responsibility or the authority to say yes or no to the Bakken Pipeline. They're an outside entity. The Iowa Utilities Board is the entity that decides that. I do agree with Laura that there should have been a motion that went down to the utilities board saying we don't agree with with the Bakken Pipeline. Much has been said about the economic benefit of the Bakken Pipeline to Story County, and to a certain extent, that's true. While it's being built, there will be people here that will stay in hotels, motels. There will be people staying in buying gas from gas stations. The restaurants and the bars will do business, and when it's built, those people will leave. As I understand it, there will be nobody here from the Bakken Pipeline after it's built. There no permanent staff person will be here. The next time that we will have economic benefit from the pipeline is when it leaks, and then we're going to have economic benefit again. But the question will be, does the economic benefit outweigh the cost we're going to have because of a disaster? And I agree that we should have given that message to the Iowa Utility Board, and had I been on the board, I would have given that loud and strong.
Thank you. Solson, anything else? Thank you. How do you see your role in influencing business expansion in Story County, and what is your approach to deciding where to subsidize business with tax abatements, county infrastructure such as water lines, sewers, roads, etc.? Mr. Burke?
Well, I think that has to be taken up on a case-by-case basis. I think there is merit in looking at that for large businesses coming into the community that are going to employ large amounts of people. For every dollar that they bring into the community, it gets spent seven times. And so there's going to be people that work for that organization or business that are going to buy homes here, they're going to shop for groceries here, they're going to buy gas here, they're going to educate their kids here, etc. So I think on a case-by-case basis, we need to look at that. I think the other thing we need to do as we invite businesses into this community is ask them a couple of things. What is your impact going to be on the environment? And if you have an impact on the environment, and if you make a mess in Story County, how are you going to clean it up? And who's going to pay for that? And so I think before we invite businesses into Story County, we need to ask those kind of questions. I am very glad that we are not in Mason City, where we're talking about having a meat-producing plant that's going to kill 10,000 hogs a day. I can't imagine the environmental impact that that's going to have on that community, and I think that's the kind of thing that we ought to be pretty careful about here in Story County. So far, we've been very lucky to have great businesses like Barilla and Ball Manufacturing and REG, all very clean, environmentally sound businesses. All the research park businesses are environmentally clean, and I think that's the kind of businesses we want in Story County, the kind that have high-paying jobs and are environmentally friendly.
Thank you. Ms. Olson?
I think that our impact as a supervisor starts by being at the planning table so that there is a voice stating very early on what our expectations are. I'm going to come back to the C2C plan that will go up for public hearing, I believe, next month, and then in front of the Board of Supervisors in June for final passage. And it specifically emphasizes the need that any businesses that come to the outlying areas need to be environmentally friendly and together with the agriculture. And there are issues involved with that that people don't realize. On, once again, Tuesday, which was a pretty big Board of Supervisors meeting, don't you agree, Reno?
I agree.
Yeah. They discussed the expansion east of I-35, and they expanded the urban fringe plan. And there was one gentleman who got up and discussed the fact that just the equipment itself will affect the corn yield as it rolls over the ground and impacts, et cetera. And he said, so get used to some 2-foot tall corn. Think of that in Iowa. Then I think what we do, as far as the tax credits go, I do agree it's on a case-by-case basis. Where I don't want to ever get in a situation is we start doing tax abatements or putting in a lot of infrastructure for a tax abatements, especially, that a company can well afford to come here on its own. It's gotten to be a carte blanche out there with communities competing against each other. Who will give the biggest package? And I want to make sure that if we ever do give it abatement, that company needs it or the project is not going forward. And I get suspect about that sometimes.
Thank you. Mr. Berg, any other comments?
No.
So please speak about privatization of Medicaid. Ms. Olson?
The privatization of Medicaid has been very disruptive to the agencies that are delivering services and for the clients who are now having to sometimes go ahead and get up new providers because of the private contracts that are being signed. I'd like to really emphasize that the privatization of Medicaid is a separate issue from the money that we give into our region for mental health and developmental disability dollars, okay? The role that we can take with privatization of Medicaid is through our region especially, pay attention and listen to what the providers and the clients are doing. But we as county supervisors have no ability to affect that other than to lobby and lobby and do some more lobby because it is a state program and it's unfortunate. I sit on the Community and Family Resources Board of Directors, in fact, the executive board now, and it has impacted our planning for our agency because while we are primarily third-party funded and then we receive some money through the region, not a lot though, we deliver mental health and substance abuse, what is happening is that our ability to plan for all of our clients is affected because we don't know of the Medicaid dollars. Are we going to get paid? How long are we going to have to hold them? The clients on the individual are absolutely the ones who are in the most jeopardy here. And that's advocacy.
Thank you, Mr. Berg.
Well, I think the privatization of Medicaid is Medicaid funds is about the worst idea since Ford built an Edsel. The amount of money that's spent on Medicaid in the state of Iowa is about $4 billion. And what has happened is Governor Branstad has made a decision to turn that over to private, profit-making, managed care entities. Now, with the $4 billion, in addition to turning it over to managed care entities, Governor Branstad wants to save $51 million the first year. So out of that $4 billion, $51 million has to be reduced. Then the four managed care entities are here to make profit. They're not here to help people necessarily. They're here to make profit because they have stockholders that they have to pay. So the profit then needs to come out of that. So now you've got less than $4 billion. The people on the other side of that are two entities, really. One is the people who provide services, the agencies that provide services, and the other the people who receive services. Two things must happen. If you're going to reduce the amount of money that's available for services by profit, by the amount the governor wants to save, and by the profit the managed care entities want to make, two things are going to happen. Rates for providers are going to be reduced, and services to clients are going to be reduced as well. The system we used to have where the county managed Medicaid, we had county case managers employed by Story County. Those case managers met with the families. They knew the clients. They knew the needs. They would meet every quarter and determine what services were necessary. I wonder if that's going to happen under this system. The role of the Board of Supervisors, as I see it, is to listen to the constituency. I want to know what agencies are getting rates reduced. I want to know from the client perspective what services are being reduced. And Chuck Palmer is the director of the Department of Human Services. And if and when I find out that people in Story County have lost services because of the Medicaid contract, I will become Chuck Palmer's worst enemy.
Okay, thank you. Loris, any other responses?
I just want to respond a little bit to the case management situation because it's my understanding that under the case management, even for the Medicaid, there's supposed to be some choices that the consumers are going to make. Unfortunately, it's a complicated process, and so many consumers follow the lead of the lead agency, and they're going to be more concerned about who their providers are rather than who manages their case. So there are some concerns, obviously.
Any other comments, Mr.
Nope.
Berg?
I think I've made enough.
Okay, thank you. Funds are allocated to the county for mental health, and Story County has a service contract with Airlie Ball, a mental health management firm, which is private. What is your approach to mental health in Story County and having a licensed psychiatrist or psychiatric nurse available to prescribe medication as a public service? Mr. Berg?
Well, we used to have a mental health center here in Story County that provided a lot of services, including the ones we're talking about, psychiatric medication. And unfortunately, that entity ran into some difficulties and no longer has a contract with Story County. So Airlie Ball was brought to the plate, and they have a contract with Story County, as you've indicated. The real problem here is the lack of psychiatrists in the state of Iowa. It's a tremendous problem. As long as there's going to be a lack of psychiatrists in the state of Iowa, then I think Story County has to do what they can to provide the services that are necessary for clients that need psychiatric medications. That's what the contract with Airlie Ball has set up to be. Until we get to a situation where we have some options and with the reduction of psychiatrists in the state of Iowa. Not many options are available. I think this is probably as good as we're going to get for the time being. When we have additional psychiatric options available to us, we have to look at those very carefully.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson?
I said earlier that I sit on the Community and Family Resources Board of Directors. Community and Family Resources was the agency that stepped in to try to save the Richmond Center, which was the previous mental health center. We were not able to do it. It's still operating even here in the county. It's no longer the mental health center, but we still lose sometimes $15,000, $20,000 a month providing mental health. And that's not even, that's as privately providing the mental health, not as the community center. We make use of a psychiatrist, that a lot of telepsychiatry. We also are we usually have a nurse practitioner on to subscribe. It is the best that we're going to be able to do as far as with the Eierly Ball situation right now, because our mental health dollars must now go through the region. And the region is looking at providing some additional services, about another maybe $3 or $4 million. And that's the plan that they approved, headed back in January and February. Now, what's happened, though, is that as far as levying that money, is that the region has evened it out. So we are not citizens of Story County paying the maximum of the 4728 or whatever it is legally you could levy per capita. We're paying about $22, and the region feels that that will sustain us for a couple years, even with possibly adding some services. However, we pulled money out of reserve, so that's why our levy went down by $1 million. Our budget that Reno was talking about earlier went down is because the region felt that they didn't need quite as much. Plus, we had a loss of this is the first full year where we're not having people be employed via community life services. So the concern for me is, yes, if we don't have a psychiatrist, there's not much that we can do legally. We are prevented from putting more monies into mental health right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Mr. Berg, any other comments?
Nope, thank you.
Okay, we have a follow-up question on the mental health issue. Could you please comment on what is the best approach to crisis management in mental health care? And in particular, there have been complaints that sometimes enforcement has had to end up dealing with cases that really are mental health cases, not criminal cases. Ms. Olson, would you start?
Once again, we now contract those services through the region. We are one of 10 counties. And so the supervisor who sits there, who is Wayne Clinton right now, makes the decision along with 9 other supervisors. They do contract for crisis for mental health. I understand that it is not going as well as it could. I heard Mr. Clinton make a reference at the last regional meeting to make possibly a new program that's coming out at Mary Greeley. I called yesterday and could not get in contact with the person who is in charge of mental health at Mary Greeley directly, but I got the impression it was in a planning stage anyway. Okay, so we can go and once again advocate with the region. Could you add some more? I am not trained in that area. Okay, so at that point, I'm going to let it be, because crisis, I mean, the best way to deliver crisis management is for the professionals to come and tell that regional board, this is what you need. And it's for that advocacy. There's an advisory group for the region. That's the best way to go. So I'll defer. I'm sure Mr. Berg probably has some specific ideas, but I'm not a licensed psychologist. So.
Okay, Mr. Berg.
Well, I'm not a licensed psychologist either. But Polk County, where the agency that I was director of, Mainstream Living, has a pretty large installation in Polk County. And we were actively involved in planning for services in Polk County. And one of the things that Polk County does really well is they have a mobile crisis unit, and they have an agency that's responsible for that. And so that if somebody is in crisis, that mobile crisis unit can get there within a matter of minutes and deal with that effectively, so that you're dealing with a person who's having a mental health crisis with professionals that are trained in mental health, not necessarily the police first and then the mental health. The additional thing that the Mobile Health Crisis Unit did was train police department personnel on how to deal with people in mental health crisis, so that hopefully the kinds of situations that we've seen nationally do not occur. We've not had that situation here in central Iowa, and hopefully we will not have it. But the region ought to take a look 30 miles south and take a look at what Polk County has done with mobile crisis units.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson, any follow-up?
Now that Polk County comes up, I do remember during 2014, during the NAMI forum, and there were other providers, excuse me for not remembering who they were, that sponsored the candidates forum. And I did bring up about a pilot program that Polk County had about offering a place where people who felt they were in crisis could come and not be admitted for 24 hours, but still receive some counseling, maybe take a look at their medications. So I'll add that into the idea of the crisis, the mobile crisis.
Okay, Mr. Berg.
And the current county board is looking at one of the community life group homes that used to be an 8-bed group home. They're currently looking at one of those buildings as just that, what Loris indicated, as a crisis center. Those buildings are not saleable to the marketplace particularly. You would not buy it to live in it. But as a mobile crisis unit kind of location, pretty good use of the facility.
Okay, thank you.
Standing on these mountains and plains, far away from the rolling ocean, still my dry land heart can say, I've been sailing all my life now, never harbor or port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. Sun, my sail, and moon, my rudder, as I ply the starry sea, leaning over the edge in one, casting questions into the deep, drifting here with my ship's companions, all we kindred pilgrim souls, making our way by the lights of the heavens in our beautiful blue boat. Thanks to the waves upholding me, hail the great winds urging me on, greet the infinite sea before me, sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms, never harbor or port have I known. Wide universe is the ocean.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and today we're having a debate between the two Democratic candidates for Story County Supervisor, Mr. Reno Berg and Ms. Loris Olson. Olson and Berg are running to fill the seat that's opening up in Story County when County Supervisor Wayne Clinton retires in December after serving for four terms. Thank you, Mr. Clinton. There will be a primary runoff on June 7th, 2016, and early voting for this primary starts on April 28th, later this month. The final election will occur on November 8th. Okay, first question. 3 weeks ago, the Iowa Supreme Court issued a ruling saying that public boards and councils, commissions, etc., cannot use individual contacts with staff members to negotiate or deliberate policy with their fellow board or council members. How do you plan to interact and communicate with staff and other members of Story County Board of Supervisors? Ms. Olson, would you go first?
I said earlier about vet early, vet often, and do that at the board table. And that's the first point in my strategy. I have always felt that the more discussion that can occur earlier on, beginning with the supervisor updates, because the supervisors all act as liaison on various committees, they sit on different boards and commissions, is to remind each other during that weekly opportunity for update what is happening. And then that occurs even before interacting with the staff. As I understand how it works now with the appointment of a director of external operations and a director of internal operations, that a lot of the administrative questions are funneled through these two employees. So as long as that any questions that they bring to me that would be administrative of nature and not policy-based, I understand that it's working quite well and that the department heads are satisfied with it. And so from that standpoint, I would be interacting a lot with those two directors. Searching for information directly from the department heads will still occur. But the key is that when you're in the office with the other supervisors, it's to make certain that the conversations and the conversations with the administrative staff are about ministerial duties, about administration, about gathering information, but then making sure that all policy discussions occur at that dais. The meetings may get a little longer sometimes, but that's okay. Democracy's good.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Berg?
Well, our Jesus said that when three people are gathered together, I am there in the midst of them. And this says when three people are gathered together, it's illegal. This is not a good decision from the Iowa Supreme Court, in my view. I looked up this morning. I don't have a problem with what it says about negotiating. I can talk to staff members and not negotiate. I can do that. The part that bothers me is the word deliberate. And I looked up the definition of deliberate this morning in the dictionary, and it says long and careful discussion. I'm not sure how we have good government if we can't have long and careful discussion with people. It's a good thing the Story County supervisors are not like they were in 1977 when I came, when their desks were all butted up against each other and they had no way to not to communicate with each other regarding policy. I would look to our county attorney to give us some interpretive guidelines on how to do this without stepping aside of the law. Quite frankly, this is a little out of my bailiwick in terms of how to communicate with people with a law that says you can't communicate with people.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson?
Well, as a journalist for 20 years, I've covered a variety of boards and commissions, and this is an issue that I am probably pretty up to date on and also was very gratified, like most of the media and most open government advocates, to have the Supreme Court finally come down on this issue. I also, as far as the advice from the county attorney's office, always you want to get an interpretation from them, but the board is not bound to that interpretation. You can always do more openness than the county attorney's office would advise. And there have been points in the past with me as a government advocate and as a prior candidate where I have felt that the board has taken advice from the county attorney's office. While it may have kept them within a legal realm, it was not the best for the citizens. And that's a big problem when you have three people. They are not sharing an office together, but their offices are right next to each other. I do believe that they are making an effort to not have those conversations. I do probably understand from what I know of nonprofits and covering the private sector, this is going to be a very new concept if the supervisor that is elected does not understand this. And it has been an ongoing concern still among people out there in the community about how much work gets done away from the board table. I'm your best advocate for that.
Okay, Mr. Brew?
Supervisors used to go out and visit with directors of not-for-profit agencies. As a director here at Mainstream, I was visited many times by individual members of the Board of Supervisors about policy issues. I'm not so sure that that can happen under this situation. So I'm interested in having some interpretive guidelines. It may even need to come from the Attorney General, since it was an Iowa Supreme Court decision. But I think we need some interpretive guidelines coming down from somebody about what kinds of behaviors are necessary for the supervisors and other commissions to engage in that doesn't get us outside of this law.
Okay, thank you. So let's talk about housing, a big issue in Story County. Where do you feel the important issues are, and were you at the recent housing forum on Story County? There was a task force formed to create a local housing trust fund to help make housing more affordable. What is your approach to this, Mr. Berg?
Well, I was not at the housing forum. I was out of state that when that was held. That being said, as far as a local housing trust fund, I think that's a great idea. And I think that the entities, the communities in Story County and Story County itself ought to financially participate in that. And I'm interested to see what the final report will be from that task force and what ideas they come up with. But I'm fully in support of Story County as a board financially participate in making that happen. We have housing is a big problem in this community. We have a lot of people who have good-paying jobs and can afford to live in nice houses. But we also have people that live in rural Story County out of necessity because they can't afford to live in Ames. So I think that needs work, and I'm anxious to hear what this task force has to say about it.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson?
I was at the forum. And it did a lot of concentration on this land trust situation, forming one, which basically, to explain this, is that the trust would own the property, and then go ahead and the housing would be built on top of it. There would be when there would be a sale after, I believe it's 5 years. I think it's similar to the Habitat model, right? That after 5 years, no. I'm being told no? Okay. So back to the land trust itself. I'd be in favor of it, but it was interesting. I ended up sitting at a table with a realtor who's in land development and with the Story City manager, and they talked about the price of land being a possible problem for this land trust. And Story City has been very successful instead of rehabbing existing properties to bring them up to current code. To also, I would like to take a look at a variety of housing models that would incorporate mixed use and take that out into the county. Right now, the city of Ames is starting to do mixed use. And I'm sorry if I confused anybody about the requirements for the land trust. Okay?
Yeah. Mr. Berg?
Well, I think one of the things that might be considered, and I'm sure my friends at the Story County Community Foundation may not appreciate this, but they might be the ones to operate this trust fund. They operate trust funds as it is now, and they might. This might be an opportunity for them to expand. They have the legal things in place to deal with money, and they have staff that can deal with trust funds. And so I think this task force should take a look at the Story County Community Foundation as a possible operator of such a trust fund.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson?
What I do remember is that there needs to be some type of 28E agreement, and the city of Ames would need to be involved in this as I guess, a designated city. I'm not using the right term for it. But anyway, I apologize once again for not knowing that. But it's a good idea. I just want to take a look at some of the other ideas that were brought up that day.
Okay, thank you. Story County is involved in the third phase of the ISU research expansion. It will be the first time the county has made a significant capital and ongoing operational commitment to ISU outside of the traditional legislative mandated partnership with ISU Extension. What are your thoughts on this partnership? Ms. Olson?
I like that Story County is becoming involved. This is one of the ways with us going to a large project and having a seat at the table. I would have liked to have had a more cohesive effort in vetting this as it came forward. A lot of it came through conservation to begin with. Now, when it came to the Story County Board of Supervisors, they had made basically a month ago a $3 million commitment. Now, just last on Tuesday, decided how they were going to fund it, narrowed it down, and they're going to use tax incremental financing again. That decision was made. There will be a process over the next, I believe, 90 days to go ahead. There will be community input on that, but we've already signed the contract. And so I would like to have had more public involvement, more vetting of it as a cohesive project for it. It does feed into the Trails program. I think that in partnering with Iowa State, that is where economic vitality is going to move forward. And so I like that partnership. There also is a new, this will be the first time that the county will be managing lands inside the city limits of Ames, because of course the city annexed this recently. And so that will be a new type of partnership or determination about how Parks and Rec and County Conservation are going to work together. Future projects, when they do occur like this, I would like to have vetted more thoroughly and have the planning involved with this to have come earlier out of conservation before the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Berg?
Well, there are, it seems to me, four major economic engines in Story County: business, agriculture, education, meaning Iowa State University and the public school system, and the federal installations. Having said that, ISU, of course, is a major economic engine in this community. And I think any time we can partner with Iowa State University, that's going to be usually a positive situation for both entities, or at least I hope it would be. I think this is a good project. It goes into the trail system. It's going to be a park that people can use. They can ride their bikes through it. They can hike through it. And I think it's a good project. I'm not afraid of partnering with the Iowa State University and spending dollars in that direction if it enhances the quality of life for Story County citizens. And I believe this project does that. Could it have had additional vetting? Could people have had additional input into the situation? Anytime that can be enhanced, that's good. Perhaps this project may or may not have had that. And certainly we ought to have that for projects in the future. But this is a good project, and I believe it will enhance the quality of life for people in Story County.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson, any other comments?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. What are the main excuse me. What would you say are the main differences between you and the other candidate, Mr. Berg?
Well, and this is not meant as a negative that Loris doesn't have this or doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. These are just differences. I have spent my life in human services. I've spent 48 years working with people with disabilities, 10 years in northern Wisconsin and 38 years here in Story County. 20% of the budget in Story County is spent on human services. So I think that I'm kind of a natural as far as an expert is concerned on how to spend that money and how to use it, how to keep track of it. Wayne Clinton currently serves as the Story County representative on the region. So I think I'm a good person to sit on the region board with my experience in human services. But apart from human services, it would be a mistake to look at Reno Berg and say, well, he's just a human service bleeding heart liberal. I also ran a business. And the business at Mainstream Living, when I retired in 2013, encompassed an $18 million budget, employed 570 people, which is about twice the number of employees Story County has, and served 500 people in four counties every day, many of those people on a 24-hour-a-day basis. So I know how to budget. I know about human resource issues. I know about personnel policies because we did all that. So I'm when somebody comes to the Board of Supervisors and talks about their business, I'm going to understand what they're talking about. I think the other thing is, having been a resident of Story County since 1977, I've got significant history here in this, in central Iowa. And so I have historically seen issues develop, and I know the reasoning behind that, and something that might have happened in 1979, I'm going to be aware of, and why it happened. I'm also, I think, after having spent 38 years in this community, I'm known as a person of action. And when people hear my name, they know that I'm going to do something about it if I say I'm going to do something about it.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Olson?
Okay, and I'd like to get a couple extra seconds because I'd like to actually ask a question. I've heard Mr. Berg say twice now in scenarios that the county budget is 20% human services. I can't come up with that number. And I brought the
it's
budget.
It's actually about 18, I think.
Well, according to both the budget information I have here and the presentation that for this budget that's headed into 2017, it is not. It's 11% of the budget for 2017 going forward. All right. And also, as I'm looking here at what they spent last year for human services for the expenditures, I do not see a great deal that would take us to the required of a $40 million budget. We have $42 million. I don't see $8 million in expenditures.
What I'm looking at is in the annual report, the financial review, 2016 budgeted expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
And I see health and social services at 6% and mental health at 12%. So that's 18%.
Okay. All right. Okay. That will not be true going forward. All right. It's going down to 11% of the $42 million. And that is verified by the actual report for this for the budget going forward. And I think that goes back to what was needed to get the region up and running and the mental health that was going forward now that is coming out of funds that will go forward into the reserve funds, because what I came up with is for the expenditures that going forward was about $4.1 million will go into human services. So,
okay. Any other comment, Mr. Berg, on that?
I've also heard from the supervisors that the budget for next year is going to go up about $2 million as a result of human services because of the reconfiguration of the per diem cost that's coming out of the region. So there are going to be some tough decisions to be made next year with respect to an increased budget from the current budget that's going to be needed for mental health services that are being that are coming our way that we really don't have much choice in doing.
Okay, thank you.
I had been told about $1 million, if possibility of that, but I looked at information from the region in January, and the staff report shows that the levy will stay at the $22 per capita per person. Okay.
Okay.
And so the expenditures on that addition from mental health would be coming from, I believe, additional expenses. So I just would like to point out that there's a variety there. Okay. End this now. Okay.
Okay. Ms. Olson, what do you see as the main difference between you and Mr. Reno?
My in-depth knowledge of the complete operations of Story County is quite extensive. I've covered local government for over 20 years, and I've been here in Story County since 2002. Written about it, I've covered the roads, I've covered environmental health, written about issues coming from the treasurer's office, written about the auditor's office. I have a broad knowledge about how those departments work together and how the departments work with the supervisors. In addition to that, I have business background also. I have worked in management for two different Fortune 500 companies. At the time it was Norwest, it's now Wells Fargo, which makes it the Fortune 500 company. I was attached to the senior management team, and my my role was to go around the country and initiate programs, solve programs, and work within the structure to make sure that departments work together. Of course, working as an editor, a section editor for Gannett, for the Des Moines Register, I received training there. I also have the heartbreak of having to close a small business. And that is something that I think you need to bring to the table every once in a while. I'd like to have not brought it to it. I'd like to have the news industry still be in pretty healthy, healthy circumstances. But I bring that to the table also. So I know what it's like to have to struggle to make payroll. And those are important also. I feel that this, in many ways, comes down to a choice between who is going to be able to step in right away and pick it up. The budget hearings start in January, and the new person takes the seat in January. So who is going to be able to step in right away and understand not only the budgeting, but how these various departments interact with each other? I have spent the last decade plus following the Story County government in all phases, and then I spent 2 years headed into the last election cycle job shadowing all three of those supervisors, understanding what it is they do, how they interact outside also. I think that I offer a lot of experience when it comes to partnerships. Partnerships are going to be very important with this board moving forward. Thank you.
Ms. Olson, any last words, and can you maybe give us a brief story from your past that shows your leadership style?
Certainly. I'm going to give us I was president of the League of Women Voters in Ames in 2008. We faced an issue there where we had a very contentious city council election. We were co-sponsoring the forum with the Chamber of Commerce, and I led a board, then led the initiative to make a decision that, as painful as it was, as high profile it was for the community, we had to sever temporarily, at least, our forum relationship with the city of with the Chamber of Commerce, to make sure that we were not inadvertently helping to endorse a certain slate of candidates. That was a difficult. I led it openly, honestly, tried very much to communicate with people why this was being done and having to do with the nonpartisan role of the league. We got through it, and I think that it became a better situation for everyone involved. It helped create the relationship that the chamber now has with another radio station in town to put out more forums there.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Berg, any last words or examples from your past on your leadership style?
Well, leadership style. I was a CEO at Mainstream for 36 years, and we had 570 employees in four counties. I wished at times that we were in a factory where I had 570 employees and I could shut down production for 15 minutes, bring everybody to the middle floor and say, we're going to have a conversation. I wasn't able to do that because all of our employees were at scattered sites, and many of our employees were working without the benefit of an on-site supervisor. So we had to do creative things to communicate with employees in effective ways. But what kind of a leader was I? Well, I kept my job for 36 years, so that I must have done something right. But I think my style was that I would ask employees if they were having if they were having any issues at home. And if they were having, my philosophy was, if they were having issues at home, they were going to have issues at work. So anything that we could do at Mainstream to help them with their family, within the limits of what we could do as a corporation, I was willing to do that. And I think Mainstream was always known as a family-friendly place to work. And so I was very proud of that, and that was part of my leadership style.
Thank you, both of you, for your very clear and concise responses to all of our questions. It's been a very interesting conversation, and you've You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Thank you for joining us today. I've been your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and our timekeeper was Greta Anderson. Today we heard a debate between the two Democratic candidates for Story County Supervisor, Mr. Reno Berg and Ms. Loris Olson. Olson and Berg are running to fill the seat opening up in Story County when Story County Supervisor Wayne Clinton retires in December after serving for four terms. There will be a primary runoff on June 7th this year, and early voting for this primary starts April 28th. The final election will occur on November 8th. Thank you both for coming today and sharing your vision for Story County, Ms. Olson and Mr. Berg. Local Talk is on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. You can also hear today's entire Local Talk show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. And you'll also find information about the people you heard today and contact information. Local Talk was engineered today by Jonah DeGeest. Thank you, Jonah. Greta Anderson provided the timekeeping for this debate. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. If you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends. Please stay tuned because there's much more to come today on Community Radio. And thank you for your participation. Your participation as the audience is what makes KHY possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening and see you again on the radio.